I'll say two things, and I'll turn it over to our other two panelists, including our new special guest panelist. I'm looking forward to his introducing himself to you. Two things I'll say right off the bat. First of all, what we're talking in here primarily focuses on avoid having you turn into the next Michael Brown. We don't ever want to see that happen. That's the number one thing to avoid. Number two is we're really focused on preventing you from being convicted of anything. Being arrested will ruin your day, your week, perhaps your month. Being convicted will ruin your life. So you might get taken to jail. Cops can promise you anything. But being taken to jail for a weekend is a lot better than what can happen if you're convicted. What we're doing is setting up layers of affirmative defense that your lawyers can use when the time comes, when the real time comes. The second point has just jumped out of my head. So, John, why don't you introduce yourself?
Good evening. My name is John Sokol. My background is I was a cop for 15 years. I retired 25 years ago, so a lot of the new stuff I keep on top as best I can. My background, I was Illinois State Police and a U.S. Marshal, so and a couple of departments in between. But I will talk to you from the police side, and be careful, don't get your ass kicked.
And really happy to introduce.
Hi, I'm John Patrick Berry, retired Maryland State Trooper, and you might remember me as Officer Jones.
Yeah, he's the one who busted the old lady.
What a douche.
So we're going to talk about a few issues that are raised by that film. Some of these have changed in the past few years, and then we're really more interested in your questions. We tend to get a number of questions at this panel. We'll trade off on these, I guess, because I know you had a few to say, John. The first one I'll talk about is identification. So in Georgia, it is a law that you have to identify yourself if the police ask. Basically, that can be considered probable cause if you don't. So in Georgia and a number of other states, if you are asked to identify yourself, you have to. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you have to show them ID. They might very well request it. It really just means that you have to identify yourself. And what that specifically means hasn't made its way through the courts to clarify. So cops will probably want your ID. It generally just means you have to positively identify yourself. Yes, I am Andrew Greenberg.
The result of that, if you don't, is called obstruction of justice. It's a misdemeanor, up to 365 days in jail. One of the things that I want to talk about is videotaping your encounters with police officers.
Get him in it.
Well,
up in Maryland, it was you could be detained if you didn't give a name or date of birth. And those are pretty much the two things you have to give them. If you're stopped or if you're even approached, is name, date of birth. And if as long as when they look you up and like maybe generally where you live perhaps, that your description matches that of what you gave them, there's a really good chance that they'll just pass and move on, as long as you don't have a criminal record, or should say a warrant.
25 years ago, like I said, I retired 25 years ago, we had field interrogation cards, FI cards, and that's what we used. We'd stop somebody on a curiosity, and that was our probable cause. This person doesn't fit in this location, or this person doesn't, what are you doing out at the mall at 2 in the morning and the mall's closed? And we'd stop you and ask you for identification release to identify yourself or underneath the computer, and that was really more of a warrants and watch check. Other than that, and like Andrew said, in Georgia, it's required. You know your name, you know your date of birth. Anything more than that, STFU.
And let's talk about the right to remain silent. Being silent does not give you the right to remain silent. You actually have to affirmatively assert your right to remain silent. Yes, you have to talk to remain silent. You actually have to say what they were showing in the movie before. Ready, all together?
All together.
Was I like to see my lawyer, and then
I.
Hey, I'm going to remain silent. I'd like to see my lawyer. Thank you.
So, you
man, I've only seen this movie year after year. Faith should be burned into my brain. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say. It's been a long con. Is that these are extremely stressful situations when you're pulled over. We can think we know it all. We don't. Police are very experienced in this. They're trained in this. We are not. So do not think that you're ever going to outthink a cop in any of these situations. That's why you keep doing these rehearsals. The only things you really want to know when you go into these situations are, I do not consent to any searches. I will remain silent. I want to see a lawyer. Just remember those things, and you'll be better than you would be if you didn't.
On the traffic stop that they showed on the film, notice, and it was really interesting, the first couple of pictures, the window was down about 6 inches. I would suggest even less than that, enough where you can hear the officer can hear you, and you can pass papers back and forth. You don't need to go any further than that. The reason is, if the officer asks you to leave your vehicle, it's a lawful request. You must leave your vehicle. However, now with all these cars that have electronic key fobs and door locks, whatever, when you leave your vehicle, start the habit tonight. Every time you leave your vehicle, lock the doors. Every time you leave that vehicle, lock your doors behind you. Because, and I really hope, I'm a friend of the trooper, I've not met you yet, it's a pleasure to meet you, we'll talk later. I certainly hope he backs me up on this one, because I've been saying this for many years, and this is what we learned in Illinois and down in Florida. When you lock your vehicle, that vehicle is now a secure instrument. In order to get into it, we need a warrant. So therefore, if you have got your vehicle, you've left your vehicle, it's unlocked, windows are down, it's an abandoned vehicle. I'm here, I'm seeing shaking noise.
You're a bit wrong on that. Now, a house is secure, but with a vehicle, it's a mobile transportation. You are only having limited protection with it. For example, you can still wind up with a plain view.
We got a mic for you.
Talk into the box.
Talk into Bob. Talk to Bob.
It's a microphone.
You're
talk into it.
You're
talk
into it. Okay, like, well,
like that.
It's still limited protections because it's a mobile transportation.
But you need a warrant.
You have to have a warrant. It
depends. If there is a plain view of the incident, or you do have probable cause, for example.
Okay, we're not going to get into a discussion, an argument on this, but I'd like to see the case law, because every case I've had, the vehicle has been locked, we needed a warrant. That's Illinois and Florida.
Search incident
plain view is still, search incident and arrest is completely
different. Search incident
different, different job. I'm telling you, when you're asked to leave your vehicle, lock it.
Yeah.
And don't leave stuff out anyway for anyone to see.
You know, and in worst case scenario, even if, you know, locking it actually just helps secure just in case, because even silly stuff, you might have seen those videos where people are like, you know, you're going to pump the gas and all of a sudden someone reaches in the car and like steals stuff. It's just a good habit to get into, no matter what the law is. But Terry versus Ohio, a lesser expectation of privacy once you leave your home in your conveyance and things like that. If they see something through your window, that is plain view.
And I'll say one more thing and then we'll open to questions. You don't know necessarily what's going to be probable cause in that situation. If you're into kink, your play bag goes in the trunk. Don't leave what they see as a rape kit lying on your back seat.
It gets
the trunk.
Padlocked.
Yeah, preferably padlocked. If you've got, obviously, if there are any substances of legality you are concerned about, nothing goes in the plain view area. If you have a knife, no reason for that to be out in plain view. That can go in your trunk. So I think, unless anyone's got something else, we'll go for questions because there are plenty of them.
Looks like.
Okay, if can the officers, can they, I'm back here, can they threaten to hold my car, to impound the car until they got a warrant. I was, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and
they cannot tow it. A vehicle cannot be towed unless they have reason to tow the vehicle. If it's an unsafe vehicle, they have no reason to tow it. They can stop you and hold you until you get a warrant. Fine, let me follow you. I'll follow you to the court.
Okay, so they are allowed to effectively.
They can detain you.
It. Okay.
Reasonable amount of time.
Right.
Define reasonable.
Now, the thing is, if they're not charging you, again, it's a reasonable amount of time, and we're only setting up layers of defense. You are then saying this was not a reasonable amount of time.
Each state varies, but I will say that in a lot of states, there is an amount of time, a grace period, in which you're allowed to leave a vehicle on the side of the road. Most of the time, it's 24 hours. Some places, it's 48 hours. If in the event that they ask you if you need to if you would like your vehicle stored or towed, to say I'll leave it and have someone pick it up, because if they store it, which, you know, I say store, that's what that that a lot of people like using the word impound. A lot of departments don't even use that word anymore. They use stored. And the nearest reliable will come pick it up, and then they have to take an inventory of the vehicle in order to make sure that, you know, the integrity of the property of the vehicle is there. And if you have something that is questionable in that vehicle, it's going to be looked at. Even if it's in the trunk, even if it's totally locked up, then they could say, well, it's locked, you don't have a key to it, that sort of thing. But if it's like, if you just have something you just threw in your trunk, like a questionable tube with a water reservoir, you know.
Glass statues.
I have a couple of different
talking questions. To Bob.
I have a couple of different questions. My tragedy started when I left here 1 year. I've been arrested 6 times. My record's been expunged. Every law's been changed in all 50 states. Every officer ever put their hands on me has been fired, and some detectives. My brother is a 33-year prosecutor veteran, and I got those 6 laws changed. I wanted to know how I could get involved in changing more. And the police in my county now, if they stop me, which I've been stopped a few times in my car, they usually see my name and run away, literally. But if they see me at a location, they trespass me from there. And as far as I know, there's no defense for a trespass. They just say they didn't like the color of your hair, they didn't like the color of your shoes, you can never come here again.
I'll speak to getting involved. I work with Peachtree Normal. Look up Peachtree Normal. That's an NRML, not an A, .org. That's one way. There's Cop Watch, is a good group here in Atlanta, very active. The Cop Watch is national, but there's a good local group. I don't know how far out of the metro area you live. I can't, once you get out of Douglas County area, something like that, there's not as much help. And the ACLU group is excellent. Jerry Weber is one of the best lawyers I know. He's going to go, when his tombstone is made, it's going to be the one I want. It's going to say he's the man who got sodomy and adultery legalized in Georgia. I'm so jealous.
Wow.
Anyway, the next part of the question, if you guys want to jump on that.
Is there a defense for trespass?
If you're on someone else's property, if you're on government property that is clearly signed that you're not, no, there's really no defense that you can be locked up. Or usually they just tell you to move on.
If you're on private property, same thing. The private property owner has to say, we don't want you. And that's the defense.
The last couple of times have been grocery stores.
Well, if the cops get the manager to say
if
it,
you are, yeah, if for some reason no, there's no a defense. Reason you have been banned from the property and they know that you happen to be there, then yeah, you're in violation. Okay, I'm not familiar with your circumstances, and if you told everyone now, we'd probably be here for a while. But generally speaking, especially when it comes to the idea of being involved, I would research your local legislatures. Okay. And figure out which legislators, would be more sympathetic to your cause. They might use your case as a
spearhead.
Yeah,
I'm in South Carolina, and Major Mark Kills over SLED, and he's adopted me. He says he's got my picture next to my file, next to his wife on his desk.
Yeah, you're in South Carolina,
I've,
man.
I've provided like over 1,500 tips. I've kind of started trying to start doing their job for them, so hopefully I'll keep them away and. They'll know my name. All the judges in my county said they'd come pick me up if they ever picked me up for anything again.
Well, you That's sound like a popular that, guy.
Yeah. That, as far as the question, no, it's not defensible. If someone wants to say, I don't want you on my property, you got to go with it.
Okay. And I was actually trained as a cop before I was an intelligence officer in the military. So that was before I learned.
Pass Bob.
All right, yeah.
Hello. Just, thank you.
Absolutely. And I was going to say Leap, but you're actually an enforcement agent.
I've got just a basic question. Can police legally tell you to turn off any recording devices?
Once again, that's a state by state, locality by locality by thing. I know that Maryland for a while, they were it was against the law to record the police in their in the execution of their lawful duties, and there were a couple of cases that it got blown out of proportion, and there were stupid things that were done with it. I'm sure some of you may have seen the viral video of the motorcycle rider, and I actually ride motorcycles. I love it. But
the one in Maryland,
tearing down the highway, and an unmarked guy went ahead and stopped him, got out of the vehicle with his weapon, and said,
get off the bike,
turn off the engine, get off the bike, and he had his weapon out, and at that point did not identify himself as a police officer. And they had later charged the guy with no negligent.
From a document that I just got from the NCSF, and it's a February 2011 case. Plaintiff was visited by three police officers, including officers, whatever, from the Sacramento Police Department Metal Theft Task Force. The woman was on probation, didn't fight the search, but she did record the officer on her laptop. The officer deleted the video off the laptop, saying her recording was illegal. She countersued. She was protected by the First Amendment rights. The officer argued this right does not exist in private residences. He also said she didn't have the same right to record because she was on probation. The judge did not agree with either. To the contrary, this is the legal finding. To the contrary, there appears to be an even greater interest for such recordings when police officers' actions are shielded from public view. Further, there is no reason to believe that the plaintiff's status as a probationer would diminish the public interest in how police exercise their authority in a citizen's home. The decision stated if the people are allowed to record police in public, then they can do so in their home. So it's coming across the country. This was California, and California's Ninth Circus Court enters some weird ruling sometimes. But this was a good one coming out of California.
And notice you said Ninth Circus.
And to my knowledge, so far, all of the cases that have advanced through the courts, the recording has been upheld.
It's been upheld.
Now, there are some situations where you cannot record them. Now, you do get into the wiretapping and the bugging stuff. If you are recording them in a private location, not your house, and it's only them talking, you're not a participant in the conversation. This is specific to Georgia. In Georgia, one member of a conversation, private conversation, has to be aware of the taping for it to be legal. If none of the participants are aware of it, then you got to have a warrant to do that taping. So,
no expectation. I'm an expectation of privacy.
Right, right. So you can't just record cops in their houses talking to each other and think that's going to be admissible for anything, or other than a good XXX video. Anyway, who's got the bob?
Illinois recently, they finally threw out their law that it was a two-party consent state. And I believe that was the last state where it was still illegal to videotape cops. And to anyone here, anytime you're stopped by a cop, even if for a busted taillight, if possible, record the encounter. It may make it more difficult. It may make a five-minute thing into an hour because they want to, you know, make your life difficult for a little while. But it's in your best interest. My question is two former police officers. One time I had an incident, though, where the cop gave me trouble. It's only happened three times because I had one of my hands off the wheel trying to record it, and that made him nervous, right. And he made me get out of the car and everything. Now, all these times, you know, I never got arrested or anything because I was doing nothing wrong. But is that something that could happen that you might have done?
Let me pull back to the first thing you said, and then I'll turn it over to them. Remember, the first thing I said is we're trying to avoid Michael Brown above everything else. So if a cop is getting freaked out about you reaching into your pocket for a phone to record or anything like that, we go back to rule number one, which is to be
okay,
cool and relaxed.
I understand.
So number one, if the cops are going to be real assholes about it, you assert your rights, but you go at some point you'll go along and you'll fight it back in court later on.
Okay.
You don't risk your health and life over this stuff. Now I'll turn it over to them for the more pressing points.
Go ahead.
When it comes to that sort of thing, I will say that in many agencies now, they're not just recorded from the camera on the vehicle, but also verbal recording. A lot of times you'll get stopped. They say, you know, I'm required to tell you you're being, you know, audio and visually recorded during this stop. Where was it they're doing the badge cams? They're trying that.
We're trying to get that in Georgia now, actually.
But that's they're being tested places, and in other agencies, before they spend any money or anything like that, they'll see how that goes first, that sort of thing.
The body cams start at about $300 for the police officers, and that will that carries a 30-second image, and it recycles every 30 seconds. If they want to capture the image, they have to press a certain button to capture the image. The better ones start at about $1,500 per unit.
Yeah, but the hope is we'll avoid more grandmothers getting shot in Atlanta.
But exactly. Basically, the reality behind that is that if you're trying to record them, sometimes it's first of all, it's already going to be recorded on the car dash cam, and especially if they, you know, tell you, depending on the jurisdiction, you'll be able to see the microphone on their lapel, and there's actually a pack that it's attached to. I have a lot of sympathy for the supervisors the corporals and sergeants who have to sit there and look through those things all the time. It's actually part of their job just to sit there and, you know, look and fast forward this, especially if there's a complaint that comes in. Sometimes recording it on your own isn't really going to help. And if you want to, the best thing to do is just kind of put an audio recording and just leave it there. Don't screw with the phone at all. Just turn it on, leave it on. Trying to be, you know, a documentarian at that point in the game is not a good idea.
One of the big things in Europe right now, because of the police malfeasance, is more and more cars are getting dash cams, personal dash cams, because of what's going on. So, you know,
and the Russian videos are hilarious.
That's where I was going to go. Now they get some questionable stuff on there, motorcycle accident recently. But if you want to go that route, invest in a dash cam camera for yourself. They're a couple hundred dollars. The box is around somewhere.
In the instance when you do record an officer during an encounter, or when the both of you are talking, is it better to inform the officer that they're being recorded, whether audio or video, or is it better to just kind of stay silent? And
this is state by state for the law. So in Georgia, only one participant has to know about it. Not all states have that. So it really depends where you're doing this. There's some states where all the participants have to know. So, yeah, when you're being busted, Google two-party consent. No, yeah. Yeah, it varies by state.
Put a sticker on your windshield or your window. This conversation may be recorded.
One of the other normal board members has that on his car.
Yeah, as a follow-up.
And something about any police encounter will be recorded, something to that effect. So, and he also has this car protected by the Fourth Amendment. So he's never been pulled over, so.
Okay, the box is going around. There we go.
Okay, you had said something earlier about making sure nothing was out so it could be seen in your windows of your car or whatever. Now, like, what if you, like, live here in Georgia? I don't know if anybody still carries them, but, like, gun racks in the back of your truck or if you got...
Empty gun racks are fine. Having a shotgun in the back of the vehicle is fine. It's not a concealed weapon.
Okay, and, like, what if it's, like, a sword or something?
Only at Dragon Con.
Yeah, only Dragon Con. A lot of this is situational. If someone's saying, we just had a guy run through the store swinging a sword at everybody, yeah, that's reasonable.
Okay, so I need to hide my sword.
I would recommend any weapons go in the trunk. If you don't have a trunk, they go in the back covered up.
I have a truck and I carry it in the back.
Behind the front seat.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what's going to get you in trouble that day.
Why
keep
ask
your ass
for trouble? Why ask for trouble? Why open the door?
That's a great
good catch.
Hi, I'm from North Carolina, and
I'm sorry.
Hey, you beat me to it.
You have wonderful orchards in Asheville.
Thank you.
Yeah, Asheville saves your state.
I've heard for people that are worried about sexual assault, because I've heard stories that you have the right to drive to a well-lit area. Is that true? I'm just wondering if that's you have any idea? Because
if a cop tells you to pull over right then, better off pulling over right then. But is it? As a general rule, police have told me, is if someone is signaling, is slowing, and driving responsibly and going towards a lit area, they're not going to cause a hassle about it.
Okay. It might. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, in that case, yeah, especially if you're not accelerating. Don't accelerate. Make sure you're being very responsible in that situation. Because then it's no use to get hurt over a situation where, well, now I'm scared. I want to get to that place right now. And then suddenly, you know, you pulled out of the, front door, window, or whatever the case may be, and then hurt over something silly like that. But I will say this, that in Maryland, probably 15 years ago or so, we had this guy who got a hold of a uniform. He got a hold of a dash light, and he was driving around pulling people over. And from what we understand, he apparently failed out of one of the county departments and he was stopping people. He didn't even have a weapon on or anything like that because he was too nuts to get a weapon. And he was sitting there just harassing people. And it didn't matter who you were. He just pulled someone over and he would just harass them, you know. And one of our witnesses said, yeah, like he got frustrated one time and just, you know, threw his stuff down and got back in his car and drove off. And we're like going, yeah, we wouldn't do that.
The one thing I've been told by other police officers is if you are being pulled over right then, if they're saying pull over now and not giving you a chance to go, that's a 911 call for you.
Call 911 on your phone. This is where I was going to go. I give presentations for NCSF, National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, and I've been doing that for almost 12 years now. And on traffic stops, if you're not sure, male or female, you're not sure, put your flashers on, slow down, find a well-lit location. And if you're really not sure, use your cell phone. We all got them, 911. It, you know, and just verify that, do you have a car after, you know, tracking a vehicle stop at your location? You can ask that, yes, absolutely, and go to a well-lit location.
And also one more thing that you can also say to help kind of get a little on your side is that I moved to this location for both of our safety.
Exactly.
Because the reality is if cops can't see it, you know, one more thing when it comes to that sort of thing, if you get stopped at night, do yourself and do them a favor, especially if you don't have anything to hide, turn on the interior light. Okay. Turn on the interior light because that makes them, if they can see inside the vehicle better, you know, it suddenly is like, okay, I'm here, I was here, now I'm right here when it comes to my, you know, scared and alertness, okay?
Every time I turn headlights on, it calms them down. So like you're saying,
what you got?
All right. Last question.
And I would hang out usually, but I'm going for marijuana. I mean, the marijuana panel after this one. So join us in Crystal Ballroom. You can ask the questions there, too.
A G6 that I know personally has told me specifically, if I ever have one of my weapons in the car, always tell the police officer.
Okay. Andrew's doing the flip-flop. I'm with it, too. I'm sure we all are certified to have a weapon in our vehicle, concealed carry license, so forth. When I get stopped, not if, because I get stopped often, I let the officer know. I turn over my driver's license and my concealed permit. And he says, why are you giving me this? I said, because there's a weapon in the car. And I let them know. I don't volunteer the information. I give them my ID card, let them ask, and then they'll ask, where is it? I'll tell them where it's at. And let it go from there. Be calm, you know, and just follow the instructions.
In Georgia, to my knowledge, there's not a jurisdiction where that's a specific requirement that you tell the police. On the other hand, do not lie to the police. If they ask you if you have weapons, you either are honest or you shut up. What was that? Chris Rock, that right. Shut the fuck up. All right, you're not allowed to leave just yet. There are three more things you need to do before you leave this room. Repeat after me. I do not consent to any searches.
I do not consent to any searches.
Officer, I'm going to remain silent. I want to speak to my attorney.
Officer, I want to remain silent, and I want my attorney.
The last one. Officer, do you have a warrant?
Officer, do you have a warrant, or am I free to go?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right. I'm this one. Man, I'm going back to school on this one. Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Are you detaining me or am I free to go?
Just remember those words and I'll see you down at the marijuana panel.
I'll see you, Crystal.